Hello and welcome to this, our service from the Church of the Epiphany for Sunday, November the 20th, 2022. The flowers in the sanctuary to the glory of God and in loving memory of our dear Vicky, given by her family, the Ozard family. The Manor Park Evening Post is happening Sunday, November the 20th at 3 p.m. $25 for a ticket to this excellent fundraiser show that'll be taking place in the church, featuring Paul and Katie Grambo, Stephen, Adam, and Kedra. Call Adam for tickets or buy at the door. And Adam's phone number is in this email. There will be a planning meeting to plan our next year's activities Sunday, November 27th after church. Stamps for Christmas cards. The calculation sheets are available, and this year it features a 10% discount. And thank you to everyone who makes this stamps program possible. We will be decorating for Christmas Saturday, November 26th at 10 a.m. Come on out, get in the Christmas spirit, and we do need helpers. White Gift Sunday, November 27th. Usually we have a toonie lunch where we make some soup and bring a donation for our food cupboard. But due to COVID, we're not starting the lunch up just yet. So everyone will be bringing a donation for the food cupboard that day for White Gift Sunday. The Christmas Star Bazaar is Saturday, November the 18th at 1. And thank you to everyone who is helping with the bazaar. We're still going to have our bazaar featuring some wonderful baking, a cake draw, etc. up on Sunday for church and for the show. New Year's, our party is back Saturday, December 31st. Doors will open at 7:30, 8:30 for the show, 9:30 will be a light lunch, and then there will be live music and dancing till midnight. We're featuring Denise Pelly as our vocalist. New Year's Day is a Sunday, so there will be a minimal church service at 11 a.m. only. There won't be an early service. Hilda has the tickets for our draws. We have a draw this year for a handmade afghan and hockey tickets. The tickets are $2 each or three for $5. Our carol service, December 4th, 7 in the evening, tea and goodies to follow, and that's when we have our famous cookie draw. We do need donations of 6 dozen homemade, non-gooey, never-frozen cookies or treats. And please bring them to the hall Saturday, December 3rd, and you can tell Sandra what you plan to bring. A Christmas sing-along with Stephen, December 14th. That's a Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon. Bible study, Tuesday at 10 with Reverend Peter. We are saving our rinsed, empty drink containers for Kiana. The food cupboard continues to do great work. Thank you to everyone. We are able to meet needs still, even in this time of increased need. And our thank you to Butch, who manages and administers our food cupboard for us. His phone number is in the email for texts and requests for assistance. Mint smoothies. Sandra has these. $3 proceeds to the church. Save your canceled stamps for Gloria Thompson. And check out our website, which is beautifully maintained by Ron. Our Facebook, which is kept up by Sandra. And if you wish, our regular weekly donations or special donations may be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman. Her address and phone number are in the email accompanying this service. Now, let us worship. Alleluia! The Spirit of the Lord renews the face of the earth. O come, let us worship. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray, Almighty God, you rescue us from our enemies, that we may serve you without fear. Strengthen us, that we may share in the inheritance of the saints in your kingdom of light. Amen. And our reading this week is from Luke chapter 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man's done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise." Now a sermon. Well, outside of a well-known town, an old Victorian home stood on the corner of a busy intersection. It hadn't always been a busy intersection. When the home was built, it was one of only a few in the area marked by farmland. A small dirt road ran by nearby, but with plenty of space in the yard out front. However, as we all know, times change. As the years went by, the streets were built, traffic increased, the town grew. The road inched closer and closer to the front door of the home, which had long since been abandoned. The windows boarded shut, the house in disrepair, the home precariously perched on the corner of the intersection. Something had to be done. Either they would need to raise the building to the ground, move it, or renovate it elsewhere on the property. It's a rare building that's condemned in this town. When a home is condemned, it's because it's no longer viable. It poses a safety hazard, a fire hazard. It's structurally no longer sound. Even if a house has fallen into the saddest of states, this is often more cosmetic than structural, even if expensive. The decision was made then to restore and move the house to another location, to make it a historical landmark, to create a farming museum in it. Wealthy donors contributed, the town's historical society got involved, the house was transported, repaired, and restored. It has now entered its second life as a gift to all who enter. Well, this little story, it's the same with people. Like Justine, as a young teen, when she first began to get into trouble. Her family had experienced difficulties, and she found herself acting out instead of dealing with her raw emotions. This went on into her early adulthood, until one too many offenses landed her in prison for a time. Lost, alone, afraid, with no hope for a future, she resigned herself to an eventual condemnation by others and herself. Then one day, a fellow offender invited her to take part in a Bible group. She scoffed at first, but one day, down and out and bored, she decided she would give it a try, just to relieve herself of the monotony of the day for a while. At that Bible meeting, the leader read our scripture for today. He explained that each of the criminals there with Jesus that day were guilty. But when one saw Jesus for who he was and asked him to keep him in mind, Jesus immediately made the decision to offer him restoration. But he was given the gift of redemption simply because he asked Jesus for it. Well, Justine left that day with her life changed. Nothing physically had changed, but she had changed. Hope had been restored. She finally understood what it was she needed to do. She knew she had done wrong. She knew she had messed up her life. And yet someone, Jesus, thought she was worth enough to move her to a different place, restore her, and give her another chance at life. So Justine began to change. She came at life with a renewed energy. She engaged in a college prep course during the remainder of her time in that prison. She went to the Bible group every week. By the time her sentence was up, Justine was ready. Today, Justine is a lawyer for young women who have been incarcerated for juvenile and young adult crimes. She not only helps them legally as best she can, she lets them know that they too are worth a second chance in the eyes of Jesus, and that there is a ticket for a different life. Not all of us need to be incarcerated in a prison to understand the promise that Jesus makes to us, if only we'll ask him. The beauty of Jesus is that he opens the door to every one of us, no matter how guilty we feel. Jesus is all about restoration. Often, we can get the wrong idea about God. We're hard on ourselves. We decide to ourselves that God must surely think the same of us. But God has every desire to renovate our spirits, to establish us a new lease on life, that God's paradise promise is for us. And we see that in the scripture today with Jesus. The word paradise that Jesus uses, that he offers for the criminal, is an unusual word. In the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures, the word was used for the Garden of Eden. The word paradisos is a Persian loan word, meaning pleasure garden. Within the garden lies the tree of life. We left God's beautiful Eden, is the story. Once our garden of pleasure, and our lives have fallen into disrepair. But God's goal through the entirety of the scripture has always been to return us to that garden, that beautiful place of life, peace, pleasure, and serenity. When that thief on the cross, who knows what he had done, turned to Jesus and asked him to remember him, to keep him in mind, when he entered into his kingdom, when he turns to Jesus, Jesus replies, "I tell you, today you will be with me in the garden of life." In saying those words, Jesus offered a condemned man hope, the hope for a different, renewed, reconstructed life, a hope for a new tomorrow, a hope that he might have a new chance, the hope for eternal life. The criminal had done nothing in his life to deserve it. He had been condemned justly, he says, but all of that is erased away by Jesus. Jesus has the grace to take our weary, imperfect souls and to transfigure them. Many of us suffer in various ways in our life on earth, whether from things we have done or just trying to live on this earth, we carry hurts and disappointments. And yet, Jesus sets us free. We all know the end of the story, resurrection. Jesus' life does not end on that cross. Resurrection, eternal life, the greater reality. God's promise to us is real, and Jesus keeps every one of us in mind. He remembers all of us when he enters into that kingdom, the place of new life. Does our spiritual house continue to have value in the eyes of the Lord? Yes. Yes, it certainly does. So may Jesus' blessing of peace and the promise keep you in peace this day and always. And our hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Sky. Our creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He'll come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our prayers. As the shepherd who cares for the flock, O God, you guide all things through Jesus, whom you have exalted over all creation as King. Hear the prayers we offer in his name, for the creation he cherished, and that you entrust to us. And our prayers are asked for Jamie and Drew, Maddox, Randy, Rick, Shelley, Martin, Sharon, Anne, Marcel, Tara, Jeff, Nicole, and Shelley, Linda, Sharon, Philip, Jackie, Cam, Diana, Ian, Edna, Matthew, Annika, Janice, Darren, Roland, Clark, and Elaine, Donna, Diane, Norma, Dave, Peter, and Dan, Marilyn, Val, Karen, Brill, Bill, Sheila, Jessica, Sonia, and Jamie, Joel, Melanie, Marlene, Pam, Brooks, Brian, and Linda, Alan, Eunice, Jean, Marilyn, Connie, Jack and Julie, Kiana, Ella, Evelyn, Debbie, Dory, Belinda, Kim, Ross, Francis, Bill, Jeff, Pat and Grant, Jean, and Brian. Look upon your people who rejoice in your justice and mercy, and grant that the prayers we make may reveal Christ's reign in our time. Amen. And now, as Jesus has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And our prayer. O wellspring of salvation, we come to you in joy. You have heard the prayers of the poor and raised up the lowly. Pour out your spirit on young and old alike, that our dreams and visions may bring justice and peace to the world. Amen. And now our blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you, remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this week. It's always good to hear from you, to talk with you. You can be in touch by phone or email or text. And now our parting blessing song.
Peace.